Robbie Butler is the Ulster Unionist Party health spokesperson. Morning to you, Robbie.
Good morning, Stephen.
What's your reaction to this?
Well, I am with my colleague Joanne Dobson. I'm indeed on the health committee, and I have been waiting eagerly on the publication. Something that we had repeatedly asked to get sight of, and has been obviously delayed. And even up until yesterday, it was delayed beyond the last minute when we could have seen it. Obviously, we spent a lot of time reading over the document. As light as it is on detail, and I think it was good that you picked up with your interview with the minister with regard to her statement on ensuring full capacity, and in and around the funding. And I think we would have certainly appreciated a lot more clarity in those two areas, what they actually mean.
Well, do you let's find out what you mean this morning? Do you support what Bengoa is saying?
Bengoa's report, which is systems not structures, is good. Absolutely. I think that Professor Bengoa and the team have worked very hard on this. We like what we see there.
Well, let's look at some of the specifics. So you support the centralisation of acute hospital services, do you?
I think the centralisation of acute hospital is something that has been muted for many, many years. And I think it's interesting that the Minister has thrown the onus on the medical professionals.
The question, Robbie, is does the Ulster Unionist Party support the centralisation of hospital services, of acute hospital services?
For acute hospital services, again, I think it's like Professor Compton, people need to understand the difference between the acute hospital setting and those for more complex cases. In Lagan Valley, for instance, we lost the 24-hour emergency A&E, which was very hard to handle at the time and hard to take for the people who actually have that need. And I think I raised recently...
Are you going to answer the question?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Do you support the centralisation of acute hospital services?
I think the answer to that, Stephen, is we are in a complex morbidity society now where people's needs are different. So it needs to be looked at on a case-by-case basis.
You cannot look at centralising a service on an individual basis. You are the health spokesperson for the Ulster Unionist Party, right?
Yes.
Right. So do you support the centralisation of acute hospital services?
Even the detail for that is down to the Minister to provide how that actually works out.
But you're the alternative. You are the opposition.
Yes.
So you have to have ideas as well.
Absolutely.
So forget about what the minister is proposing. Do you, sir, support the centralisation of acute services? Big decisions now, big challenges, and we need big answers from politicians like you. So do you support that centralisation of those services or not?
On the whole, the plan is not there to give an answer to that, Stephen. If the plan was there, it would show what those services look like for the people who are...
No, the plan does talk about the centralisation of acute... Have you read it?
It doesn't give any detail. You know it's light on detail, Stephen.
But what's the Ulster Unionist Party's... What's the Ulster Unionist Party's position on centralising services?
It all will come down to affordability, as you covered with John Compton. And certainly,
no, it's not just about affordability, actually. What it's about is whether you feel that it is the right thing to do to centralise services. You're the health spokesperson. Do you support it or not?
In certain circumstances, there's no doubt that centralising services add benefit to not only financially but also to the patient.
So give me the circumstances. Give me the service that you would centralise.
One of the things that I campaigned on, actually, was that for specialisms, you know that I would be the spokesperson for mental health. And one of the things that I had muted in my door-to-door campaign was the centralisation of mental health services, working through a mental health champion. And I think to spread the health, struggling for the word, Stephen, this is my first time in your show, to spread the availability of care and that primary care across this country, we need those specialisms, not just centralised in Belfast, which has been the case, but indeed meted out across the country. And
would you centralise some A&E units?
Sorry?
Would you centralise some A&E services?
I think we've already seen that. I think it's something that...
You support it, do you?
Sorry?
You support the centralisation of A&E units, do you?
No. No. I think accidents and emergency, as I tried to say to you at the start, was something that my former job was in the fire service. So with regard to that, I know that when you are in that emergency situation, the speedier the intervention, the greater chance of success and a proper outcome.
Okay, John?
Accident emergency is one of those areas where we need to have that facility for people. We have a really rural community with people living longer in rural places, and that time from need to actual intervention is crucial.
Okay, stay there, Robbie. John?
I think to help the debate, it's important to look at two things that that hospitals do. The first thing, there are acute emergency surgeries, such as emergency surgery or managing strokes or managing cardiac conditions in medicine or managing emergencies in emergency departments. And there is no doubt, absolutely no doubt, that clinically and evidentially, that if you reorganise those into fewer centres, we all do better. Our outcome is better. It is just irrefutable.
And yet, listen, John, to the opposition this morning.
I think the point that he's making, and I well understand the point because it's been made to me many times when I was working, is about what happens in an emergency department. About 70% of what happens in an emergency department is minor injuries. And clearly we need to have proper minor injury support. Now, that's not... People talk about... They use emotive language like downgrade and all sorts of things. It's about the right service for the right people. Today, if you have a major trauma, it doesn't matter where you're picked up by the ambulance, they'll take you to the trauma centre. So there is already, if you like, a degree of what might be referred to as centralisation. The important thing, the very important thing that Ben Goa's report has talked about and the Minister talked about is the management of older people in the context of chronic illnesses. And there is a very vital role for local facilities to maintain and to develop those services. If you go into a
lot... But in terms of acute services, because we'll come around to that, but in terms of if you take a heart attack, if you take a stroke, things like that, you're saying that to centralise those services so that there are specialities in fewer hospitals, but the specialities are there, means better outcomes. More people will survive.
Absolutely.
You're no doubt about that.
Absolutely. And the evidence is irrefutable.
Okay, and yet, Robbie Butler, you don't know that. You're not prepared to endorse it today, and you say there's not enough detail.
Are you talking about the report, the overall report?
I'm talking about when I asked you about centralising acute services. You said there's not enough detail, there's no plan, and so it goes on.
Stephen, to have a plan, to deliver a plan, you need smart objectives. You need it to be specific, measurable, achievable, reliable and timely. And that's what's missing from the report. There's nothing bad about the report. There's nothing bad about what the Minister has produced. We're not saying that. What we're saying is people have been promised things. Transforming Your Care, which was indeed delivered by Mr Compton, a lot of the points in that are refutable. They're very good. What we are faced with is that the public are being let down by the health service, by the department, by the Minister, because there are these reports that are done, but they're not implemented.
And they're trying to do something about it, and their alternative to the government, to the executive, is you. Yeah. So when I ask you, are you going to centralise stroke services, heart services, what's your answer?
Well, I think with regard to stroke services, for instance, they were finding in 2012 that said they were too fragmented between hospital sites. And
so would you centralise them? Is it the policy of the Ulster Unionist Party, the opposition, that you would centralise them? It's not a difficult question.
No, it wouldn't be, Stephen. No, it wouldn't be.
So would you centralise them? Is it your policy that you would centralise stroke services?
No, absolutely not. No.
It's not your policy?
No.
So you would keep it as is, despite the fact that John Compton's telling you that we have a better chance of surviving centralising those services, but you'd keep them as is anyway, would you?
We need to support our services. We need to support our staff. We have some of the best staff. And as you said...
You're getting into words now. Nobody support... Listen to what you've just said.
It isn't about the money, Stephen. It is about providing the best care that we can for the people.
Okay. And if the experts are saying that you would centralise those services, why is the Ulster Unionist Party against it?
Stephen, this is more complex than gathering together the combined services and looking at stroke of itself. It was too fragmented in 2012 between the sites. And what I would say is that if there was a plan that said we can be 10 years down the line, but in that time, in that 10 years, we've got the vulnerability. So to get from A to B, you need a plan. If the plan was there, then yes, we could support something like that. If the plan isn't there, we need to support what we've got today, because today people...
If the plan was there, we could support something like that. What are you talking... I'm asking you what your plan is. You see, if the opposition comes on this programme, I'm going to ask you what your plan is. Well, and this is beyond politics, isn't it? This is about, to be fair to the executive, they're saying we need fundamental change in the health service. So I'm asking the Ulster Unionist Party this morning, do you support that fundamental change? So going into the detail, do you support the centralisation of acute services? And your answer is no. You've already said no. So what's your alternative to centralising the services?
Stephen, we will support the plan when it has the detail. We have no problem. At the fringe event on Saturday...
No, what's your plan? No, what's your plan?
I'm going to tell you, Stephen. On a fringe event at the party conference on Saturday, I was asked, will you support Bangoa? And I said, when we see it, even as opposition, when we see it and when we see the detail, we will give our definitive answer.
At the moment,
we are light
on detail. It's not Robbie Butler, what I'm asking you. You have said this morning, because centralising acute services, according to people like John Compton, who knows if he's right or not, but he is saying, and other experts are saying, and Bangoa is saying, that the centralised services means that we have a better chance of living longer, surviving that heart attack, surviving that stroke. And the Ulster Unionist Party, through you this morning, are saying that you will not centralise those services.
No,
so
Stephen,
I'll play it back to you if you want.
Stephen, that is not what I have said.
You have said that you would not centralise the services. Why not?
Stephen, I have not said that. I have not said we would not centralise.
I'll play it back to you if you want.
If we had the health ministry, which was the last ministry to be picked up by any of the parties when we came to power in May, and bear in mind, when we knocked the doors, the number one issue on people's lips is health. And what was disappointing, and I'm a new politician, so this feels a bit like Daniel in the Land's Den, by the way.
You are the health spokesperson for the Ulster Unionist Party. If someone's sitting right now on a waiting list, they will be shaking your head. They will be shaking their head. They might want to shake yours after this. They'll be shaking their... It's not a laughing matter either, Robbie. You let me say this to you, sir. They will be shaking their head this morning because if they do not like this government and this executive, you are the alternative. So you need to get across your brief.
OK. Stephen, the Bangoa report was commissioned long before the Health Minister took up her post. I've been sitting on it for 14 weeks, and there's a lot to like about the Bangoa report. If the opposition is to offer scrutiny and look at dotting the I's and crossing the T's, which we will do, we will support anything that comes across us that is good and worthy. What people have been faced with for many, many years is reports that haven't been delivered or deliverable even. So people are caught in the middle. Okay, so you've got a system that certainly needs to be changed. Nobody refutes that. But we need to be smart in the objectives. And in that intervening 10-year period, we need to be catching the people. And we're not catching them at the moment. People are on lengthy waiting lists and not getting the care that they need or deserve. And the other thing that we haven't mentioned is the pressure that the staff are under. The staff are under incredible pressure. And the Minister said that the health service needs to operate at full capacity. Well, I would say the staff are operating at full capacity and further. So I'm not sure where that one gets squeezed any further.
Robbie Butler, thank you very much indeed. Some of your calls this morning. Thank you in a second, John. Alan in Enniskillen. Morning, Alan.
It's cash, actually, but no matter.
It's what?
It's cash, actually, but
cash.
No matter.
Sorry, Alan.
No, you're all right. No, I've heard three words bandied about. Belfast, centralisation, and the Maiden City. There, you're London, there. What is wrong with centralisation, County Armagh? When you look at the map, it's a fairly central county. That's it.
And I think John, you can see, just even from the contribution there from Alan and indeed from Robbie Butler from the Ulster Unionist Party, you know, this is political. It's whether politicians are actually going to make the decisions based on expert advice or whether they're going to close down when you start talking about moving services from one hospital to another.
Well, that's always a contentious and controversial issue. But I think what the Bangoa report and the minister said yesterday is that there's a criteria to look at these things, you know, and they should be applied Can you staff somewhere successfully? Have they got the volume of activity to make sure that you've got the right level of expertise? Does it have the whole infrastructure behind it in terms of what's involved in providing that particular care or treatment in the midst of all of that? And I think there has to be an honesty about some of this. You know, this change is... will happen, you know, whether there are two choices in life and in health, I think, always. Either you manage the change or the change happens in a rather chaotic way, but it will happen. And it's very important.
You were saying the same thing 5 years ago.
I understand that.
And a lot of this plan is very similar to transforming
that.
Your care.
I understand.
It's why
that.
You like it, because it's essentially very similar to what you're saying.
I tell you what, I do like it because I think it's in the right direction. But the reason I really like it is because it has a political support. Which is an executive support. And, you know, in the end, public services and health need a political endorsement. And I think that's a major difference and a big plus on this occasion.
I'm going to have to make a big apology to Edwin Poots this morning. I've kept waiting ages. Morning to you, Edwin.
Morning.
Good morning. And lots of your calls coming in today. Promise you, we're going to do a full 90 minutes in this today. 030-30-80-55-55. Well, you heard the opposition's alternative to this, Edwin. First of all, your reaction to the Ulster Unionist Party health spokesperson who has just told this show, I'm a new politician. This feels a bit like Daniel in the lion's den.
Well, I can understand that. The Nolan Show is known for probing people. That's really a new experience for Robbie, so he has some reservations on that part. But nonetheless, as a political party, they do need to have very clear and coherent policies. And if they're not supporting the Bingo report, and I'm not sure after this morning whether they do or whether they don't, then they need to have their own alternatives and put out there. You did mention stroke and heart. I do support the centralisation, and our party would support the centralisation of stroke and heart services. Because as John Compton rightly said, the outcomes will be better. So,
Edwin, I'm going to try, because I really want to hear what you say this morning, and the phone quality is awful, so we're going to try to improve it, because I really want to hear what you say. You're a former health minister. Ryan in Belfast. Morning, Ryan.
Morning, Stephen.
You are one of the people I'm talking about on a waiting list. You've been waiting 20 months.
20 months and still ongoing.
For what?
For an ear operation. I happened a year, part of my ear bitten off by a dog in March 2014.
Right.
And then seen the consultant in February 2015.
Okay.
And I was told that I had to wait by the end of the year to get done. And today I phoned up and I was told there's still no idea how long it'll be.
And did you get any hope out of what the Minister, Michelle O'Neill, said to me today?
No, nothing. Because obviously after what she said, and then when I phoned up the secretary... two different stories.
Okay, so you're waiting 20 months, Fred, and more. Morning, Fred. Morning, Fred. Not there. Raymond and Clougher. Morning, Raymond.
Hello, Mr. Nolan.
Go ahead, Raymond.
Well, funny how, first of all, I wanted to comment. I turned on your programme this morning knowing that you'd be discussing this subject, and I wanted to hear what Michelle O'Neill had to say, but all I could hear was what Nolan had to say. Stephen Nolan was overruled. That was the worst of bad manners. That wasn't an interview, Stephen.
Do you want to declare your interest?
My interest?
Yeah.
That I'm a member of Sinn Féin.
Oh, right. I just wondered if you were going to say that.
I also work for the NHS, Stephen.
Right. So I just want, you're entitled to be on the programme, obviously, but just to declare, you're criticising an interviewer and siding with a Sinn Féin minister, and you're a former Sinn Féin councillor. Okay, just to make sure people know that.
But let me finish, Stephen. Don't talk over me the same as you did with Michelle.
Okay.
You go on your programme and you say, oh, Sinn Féin failed to put up a minister, they refused to put up a minister, they refused to put anybody forward for discussion.
Sure.
And the way you treated Michelle O'Neill this morning, is it any bloody surprise?
What's the target? What is year one target for waiting lists, Raymond?
The target is you have got to try and reduce them, but you have got to start at the beginning.
So I'm starting at the beginning, what's the year one target?
I don't have a target. I wanted to hear what the minister had to say about it.
She doesn't have one either.
Because you kept talking over her.
She doesn't have a target. She's going to announce another report in January when she will announce another target.
Stephen, you don't know what she's going to do. Why didn't you let her say that?
She did.
She said she was going to produce another report.
Yes.
But her aim is to produce a different way of delivering the services. One of the things there, the minister or whoever came on last day there, the NHS is at full capacity. The NHS isn't at full capacity. There's a shortage of doctors, nurses, everything.
It takes about 10 years to train up a doctor, though.
That's been recognised everywhere.
But if part of the health minister's solution...
There is a shortfall in the staff.
Yeah.
But you need to, first of all, increase... There are nurses out there who are looking for jobs, and yet there are jobs available for them. We need to bring the nurses, the nursing capacity. We can also bring up capacity.
Okay, let's bring on Edmund Poots now. Raymond, thank you, sir. Edmund Poots, morning again.
Good morning.
That's better. Right. So, your former health minister, do you think that we're going to need a significant amount of money to make this work? And the obvious question, Edwin, because every health minister wants money, Michelle O'Neill wants money, are you confident that that money's going to be given to her? And where on earth is it going to come from?
Well, I think they will evidently need money to make it work. And in many ways, the Bangor report isn't wildly different from the Compton report. And the progress that was being made on the Compton report was undermined as a consequence of the whole welfare reform debacle, and the money wasn't made available then for a period of time, and that caused problems.
So, Edmund, has the money been signed off? Has there been a deal done between Sinn Féin and the DUP?
The executive has signed off the report, and there's no point, calling the piper if you're not going to pay the piper. So it is important that the executive find the resource to do that. That will be hugely challenging because I know that the executive budget is already under extreme pressure. And one of the issues that we've had over the course of the last number of years that we have been operating a health service in a period of time when there's been significant austerity. And the consequence of that is that most other departments were asked to stand still. The health got a couple of percent. In reality, health needed around 6% just to stand still. So we have been facing a situation where the money hasn't been made available to health, and therefore you're trying to make reforms in association with cuts. The public get those two things confused. They're blaming the reform for the things that go wrong, when in actual fact the cuts are taking place at the same time.
So how much do you think? And I'm not going down to the last million, but how much do you think they're going to need here, year one?
Well, John Compton quoted a figure of 60 million. I don't think 60 million is an unreasonable amount for the executive to find in order to move things forward.
You were looking at 160 million at one point, weren't you?
I might well have been. I can't exactly remember the figures, but it was always around 100 million additional to make things happen. That needed to happen. And, we really need to address those things and implement the change. What I do welcome is that we have an executive which is committed to this change.
And that's why I'm focusing, Edwin. You've said it's going to be very difficult because other departments are challenged, right? There's not a lot of spare cash about. So this is going to be, if Michelle O'Neill is saying, look, the executive have backed her plan, then backing a plan means financially backing it.
Put your money where your mouth is.
So therefore, other ministers are going to have to say, yes, take money from our department.
That may well be the case, or it may be the case that if there's additional money, for example, in the autumn statement, that other departments don't get any of that additional money and it's focused on health. That remains to be seen. It is for the Department of Finance to bring forward a proposal. What supports this? The executive have given its stamp of approval yesterday, and it's for the executive then to identify where the resource comes from. Whether that's from other departments, whether it's money that's coming back, that's up to the finance minister in conjunction with the executive to identify that.
Are you confident they'll be given the money?
I think that there is a will to actually make this work. Health is something which is always moving forward. There's always new expenses that come in because people are identifying new ways forward and the public want to avail of those treatments.
And those
are consequently bringing additional expense all the time.
And when Michelle O'Neill says that part of her solution to reducing waiting lists is to get the health service working at full capacity, why didn't you do that?
Well, there's certainly a major desire on our part to do it. And one of the things that we were looking for and were aiming towards is seven day working, and that's not to say that they aren't working 7 days.
So why didn't you do it?
They are. Well, that is something where negotiations are continuing in England, because our negotiations with the doctors actually take place in England. So you can't have 7 day operations, and I'm talking about elective surgery here as opposed to emergency surgery.
Because they do it 7 days a week.
But the elective surgeries. And those negotiations have always taken place in London. That's the case. And everybody knows that we've been having junior doctors on strike because those negotiations have been unsuccessful up until recent days. So, that is one of the key reasons why it hasn't been done in Northern Ireland.
But this is part of Michelle O'Neill's. This is part of Michelle O'Neill's strategy.
Yes.
And so how is she going to deliver it?
Well, we are in a position where there was decisions imposed upon the doctors, and I know the junior doctors have called off their latest strike, but it's absolutely critical that we get to the point where we have those 7 day working right across the piece, and that we ensure that care is available.
Okay.
For all seven.
Well, clearly what we need to do is we need to now go to the unions, and we need to ask the unions for their reaction to the health minister wanting full capacity within the health service. Edwin Pooch, thank you very much indeed. Thank you.